T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now. Welcome back into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris, and we have our second interactive tasting room episode for you fine folks out there.
Yeah, boy.
There are not one, not two, not three, not four, but five LeBron James champion, beers in front of us that we will be drinking along with you. We got these all at Market of Choice on Belmont.
I went to the Belmont. That's the easiest one for me. I almost contemplated going out into the burbs.
Into my neck of the woods.
Your neck of the woods, yeah. just for funsies. But I grabbed these, and every single one of them on the bottom said new product.
Yes.
So I thought that would be hopefully... In theory, the buyers at all the Market of Choices would have gravitated towards these.
I was at my Market of Choice on Saturday after you already purchased these beers. I didn't check exclusively to see if they were all there, but I was keeping an eye to see where the new product labels were, and they're all over the place. So you should be able to find at least a couple of these, but you know, if you go to the one on Belmont, you should be able to find all of them unless they've sold out by the time you listen. So the whole point with this is we were doing tasting room episodes, and we were like, this is fun for us. But you guys are just listening.
Right.
Now, if you want to go buy the beers, you can drink them along with us and tasting note them along with us. And then you can DM us on Instagram at Beers on Us, and you can let us know what you think. And it's a lot of fun.
And I was, you know, having some beers with some friends at Cerveza the other day and looked into the bottle shop, and I saw at least three of these on the shelf there. So that makes me think a lot of these beers, if you don't find them in Market of Choice, you might be able to hit your local bottle shop and see some.
That's good to know. I think we picked Market of Choice because they have interesting options, but also because there's multiple of them.
Mm-hmm.
More interesting options than, say, a New Seasons, in my opinion, at least.
I would agree with that.
But yeah, I mean, if you can find these anywhere else, feel free and drink them along with us. You can find the podcasts, most places you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Omni, tendingtothefan.com, radio.com app. And you can find us on Instagram.com/beersonus. I am at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter, and Patrick is at PDiddy085 on Instagram. Before we dive into these beers, although you might want to pour the first one, if you know, we've got five beers in front of us, so we might want to start drinking it a little bit early in the episode.
Okay.
What are we pouring?
We're going to start first with The Fizz, an all-Colorado Keller Pilsner from our mutual friend. We have done an Our Mutual Friend in the past, have we not?
I think so, and we have both been to Our Mutual Friend as
God,
well.
Looking at the
it's the Times
four.
Arrow.
It's the Times Arrow.
West
yep.
Coast IPA.
We did an IPA from them that kind of drank a little more like a double IPA, if I remember correctly.
It was a little maltier than a West Coast IPA, yeah.
But I grabbed this because I saw Our Mutual Friend. We've both been there, as you said,
yes.
And I thought it would be fun. Plus, honestly, there weren't a whole lot of new lager selections. And in doing the interactive tasting room, I'm always trying to find
various
variety.
Styles.
Yeah. And I think it's good to start with a lager.
So while we sip on this, we'll tell you about our week in beer. Thank you, sir. I will start with this because I haven't actually announced it on the podcast, although I've teased around it a little bit, and it's now been talked about on the air. It's out there. I'm now divorced.
So
we have not talked about that. We've been separated since February, so it's been about 7 months for me. There was some talk about maybe reconciling between the two of us, and it just didn't really pan out that way. So part of my week in beer is I went on a date.
Ooh-wee.
It was actually a second date.
What's that like?
I'll get to that in a second. my week in beer included having one of the Hill Farmstead Porters that the messenger gave to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful.
Awesome. That's good to hear, especially because we weren't super fans of the Pilsner. Yep.
I hadn't really been drinking a ton of porters recently. I mean, I have the Blackbeard Porter in the fridge right now, mm-hmm. but outside of that, I haven't really been delving into the style too much.
We've talked about it. It's an untapped market.
It is. It's dominated by one beer right now, and it's the most popular beer at the brewery. It was great. It was a really, really, really solid porter. I didn't have a ton of like, or at least I don't remember a ton of my tasting notes from it, but I just remember being like, wow, this is really good. I really enjoy this.
Do you remember if the body was a little more lagery or a little more ale-y?
I think it was a little more lagery.
Cool.
I think it had a little bit more of like the bready
cool.
character to it
cool,
in the middle.
Porters dance in between kind of yeah. in that land. So I'm always curious
I have
when people, like if I have a Blackbeard Porter, that's definitely more ale to yes. me than lager.
I have one more, so I'll let you know when I drink cool. it. I'll try to think more detail-based when I drink it instead of just like, ooh, beer.
Glug, 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 glug. That was great. Smash can. Throw away. What's next?
What was next was the Sun River Dekine Fresh Hop Mosaic. Which I liked better than their Fresh Hop Strata.
Which is so fun.
Last year, we liked the Dekine a lot as well. Mm-hmm. This was great. It was a great Fresh Hop beer.
I can't remember, is that beer only Fresh Hop, or have they made it without Fresh Hops?
I don't know. I recognize the name,
yeah,
but I don't know if it was only because we had it Fresh Hop last year, too.
Gotcha.
So I had that, and I had a couple of other beers. I did try the Giuseppe Warlock, the Von Ebert Breakside collab. Mm-hmm. It was good, but it was not as good as I thought it was going to be. I like double IPAs a lot. It just wasn't really hitting the spot for me. There's no off flavors or anything. It just yeah. kind of, I drank it and I was like, oh, okay. Not like, whoa, what a great collab. And that's I was like, oh, all right, that's a beer.
That's funny because I really liked that beer. I thought it was nice, but you're more of a double IPA drinker than I am.
So maybe that's why.
Yeah,
I'm looking for different things.
Yeah, you're looking for different things and maybe it just didn't hit those things to where... You know, a lot of the things I don't like about double IPAs are not as present in that beer, which is probably why I'm like, gimme.
And then I went to Chicha in Salem. I said I would save it to go with you, but
you it's know, all right.
Things happen. This was a second date for me and a girl that I guess I'm now seeing. I mean, we're taking it slow, but you know, it's been very, very nice so far. And she lives down near Salem. So I was like, oh, I really want to go try Chicha and let's go there. The beer was still fantastic.
That's awesome.
I think it was called their 50-50 pale or something like that. It was a pale ale made with Hatch green chilies.
See, I'm really into that, especially pairing with food.
Oh my God. It blew me away. I didn't expect any of the flavors that were in it to be in it. And it was so good. I also had their chocolate milk stout, which was delightful as well. And the food was great. Shared some, I think it was like some croquetas as an appetizer, a little fried chorizo and cheese balls. Mm-hmm. And I had a pork belly taco main dish. They weren't tacos, but it was kind of similar to that. Really good. High quality food.
That's awesome.
High quality Mexican food. Really good beer. Cool spot. Kind of tucked away in a random place you would probably never go to in between a bunch of warehouses, very brewery-esque, but it's kind of off the beaten path a little bit. But it was a ton of fun and a cool spot, and I definitely plan on going back.
That's awesome.
And we'll have to go for the podcast now.
Yeah, I can't wait. You were saying that they're even going to start doing some chef's table type stuff.
Yeah, they said starting in 2021-ish, like early 2021, keep an eye on their social media pages. They're going to do off-the-menu chef's menu beer pairing nights.
That sounds...
Which sounds choice.
Everything I want to do.
Yes.
my weekend beer is pretty simple. I didn't, you know, I've been kind of... I'm in week two of my sabbatical. And so I've been kind of just laying low a little bit. I've been to Grains a couple times. No shock there. I can probably lay that to bed that there's a good chance I've been there at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped. I had a Shadow Shinobi at Lewitt. Just kind of their house flagship IPA.
We had that when we were there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Formerly known as Shadow Ninja, one of my favorite Vancouver beers over the last, I don't know, 10 years that I've been back in the area. And it was delicious. It was maybe one of the best Shadows I've ever had. I thought the malt profile had been dialed back a little bit. The hop aggression was a little more forward. I thought it was really, really delicious.
Last beer I had from them was their Mount St. Helis.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a solid brewery. I think they have some crazier off the beaten path stuff that people could really, really get into. But I think at the end of the day, they're just kind of really solid. And I've really enjoyed that. I had a West Coast IPA from Crown and Hops, which is a new brewery out of Inglewood, California. All owned by black people, okay, which I thought was pretty cool to give some, give a little love and support there. It was great. It was delicious. It had that Southern California kind of vibe to it, in the sense of there was great hop character, but the body was a little thinner, which isn't my favorite. So to say that California style, I like a little more body, as we do in the Northwest. But I thought it was really good, and it was good, good marketing, good labeling on the can. And I found that really delicious.
Cool.
Some other fun things. Week in Beer. I just thought we'd like to shout out on this stuff. The 2020 Fresh Hop Medal winners for the Oregon Brewers, the Oregon Brew Award, Oregon Beer Awards, excuse me, were announced. They taste these during Fresh Hop season, and they usually announce them.
I forget that they did this.
Yeah, yeah. And then they usually announce them, and it's kind of a little thing to kind of get razzed about OBAs, which is going to be super weird this year, because I imagine it will be all virtual slash nothing happening,
right,
sort of thing.
Of course, sadly.
Yeah, and
at least you could do it before COVID started this year. Didn't that happen right before?
It was
before?
Like the last cool thing I did before COVID, which I'm glad, because it was a lot of fun. And similar to GABF, which is going to be announced at the end of this week, I believe awards are on Saturday night. So maybe next week, I'm going to be out of town, but I'm going to call in and we're going to do a little quick hit. Maybe we can talk a little real quick GABF winners.
Sure.
But here you go. There are three categories. There's the hazy IPA or pale ale category. There is the American IPA and pale ale category. And then there is the other fresh hop beer category.
Okay.
And for the hazies, 25 entries. Gold went to Ruse Brewing, Fresh Hop About That Time. Silver went to Breakside Brewery for What Fresh Beast. I believe that's like three times in a row that beer is medaled. And bronze went to a brewery that I never drink, but I always feel like lands on these fresh hop lists, and I kick myself every time for that, and that's Sasquatch Brewing with Mouth Pillow Hazy IPA. Oh. Not a big hazy drinker, but I feel like Sasquatch gets a medal in this category every year.
It's funny because isn't Mouth Pillow like one of their regular hazy IPAs?
I think so,
too?
Yeah.
I recognize the can art. It's like the fake teeth, the fake chattering teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. Okay, cool.
And then,
I haven't had any of those. So
yeah, and then the American IPA and Pale Ale category, there were 66 entries. So by far the most, in fact, more than the other two combined. Gold goes to Breakside Brewery for Fresh Hop Wanderlust IPA. Silver is Breakside Brewery's Fresh Hop India Golden Ale, otherwise known as IGA.
I did not have that.
I thought that was really excellent. It's a double IPA, but it's a lighter body double. I mean, I'm going to drink Wanderlust till the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then bronze went to Three Creeks Brewing for their Cone Liquor Fresh Hop.
Ooh,
yeah,
I didn't see that anywhere.
I didn't see it either, so it must have been a draft-only thing. Which is funny because I know they package a ton of stuff. Maybe we just missed it, or maybe they didn't package it.
It's possible.
But I've had that beer over the years, and I've always thought that was solid. So kudos to Three Creeks on that. And then the other fresh hop beer I think is going to be really interesting to us. Fresh Hop Sterling Pils from Breakside wins gold. Silver is Zeugel House Fresh Hop Zeugel Kolsch.
Which I had.
Which you did have.
Yes.
And I remember last year, the Oktoberfresh won, and we were like, yep, told ya. We know that beer is bomb. And then you were like, I just had the Kolsch, and it was really good. Well, your palate wins, Mike.
Hooray!
On that one. And then bronze goes to our great friends at Bear Lick Brewing for their Fresh Hop Pioneer ESB.
Ah, which was delightful.
Yes, yes.
Drink.
Drink.
And congrats.
Yeah, so congrats to all those guys, and Fresh Hop season, I think when awards come out, we can call that in the books.
Yeah, I had, like I said, I saw a couple more on the shelves this week, which I hadn't seen. I mean, look, if there's another one that I see this weekend, I'm going to pick it up, even if Fresh Hop season's over.
Yeah, but, I'm reaching the end of my rope.
Yeah, I mean, we've been having it for a month or so.
Yeah.
Month and a half,
that's
maybe.
That's the best part about it. It shows up, you go crazy about it, and then you kind of say,
I'm
thanks.
Done.
See ya.
Yeah, let's get into the winter beers here. Bring me the stouts. Let's go.
Yeah, I do want to share some unfortunate news, though. It looks like the bike bar on Williams from Hopworks, which has been there for a very long time, and I have great friends that used to work there back in the day that now work at other places, but that place is closed on Williams permanently as COVID, takes another one.
That is unfortunate.
It's a cool little spot.
I've never been there. I've been to the one on Powell a lot, but never been to the bike bar.
Yeah, cool little spot to just kind of swing in. And, it makes sense to call it the bike bar because it's right there on that Williams bike lane, which is terror-induced anxiety to me when I think about it, because the cars do not acknowledge the bikes, mm-hmm. and the bikes don't really acknowledge the cars, and so I'm always...
Is the problem in our fair city.
Yes, that thus I am terrified that something terrible is going to happen in front of me, or to me, or around me.
But you're not in a bike, on a bike.
No.
Inside of a bike.
No, but I'm still scared inside my two-ton vehicle. Some bicyclist's like, I'll take this pickup truck on. This thing is ratty. And it's like, no, I will drive you over. Like, please be aware. I am watching you too.
I am aware that you are here, sir.
Yes, please. Please be aware that I am here as well.
All right. Well, there's our week in beer.
Yep.
And we've been sipping on this first one, the Fizz.
The Fizz.
From our mutual friend. You said it's a Pilsner?
It's a Keller Pilsner.
Keller Pilsner.
Which basically just kind of says that it's kind of unfiltered. It's kind of it's more of a... Keller, I think, you know, in talking with some people over the years, Keller is more of a process than an actual style.
Gotcha. What does it say on the side of the can? Any descriptors for
us? Let's see. They began in 2012. Nope.
Nope.
With gratitude, cheers. You know what? You know what, guys? You got it. Cheers to you.
Cheers to you.
Cheers to you.
I'm enjoying this beer. It's a light, refreshing, crisp Pilsner. And I'm not getting... I'm still struggling with my palate with these styles of beers, mm-hmm. because I know that it's a lot less about the flavors and, as we learned last week, a lot more about the process that goes into
it.
Thank you to Kevin Davey for coming in last week. If you missed last week's episode,
listen to it.
It was a fun one. I'm just having trouble discerning anything really unique. It's just solid. It's a nice, drinkable, easy beer, crushable.
That's kind of how I feel. It's a little... I wish it were a little drier.
Yeah, it's a little bit light in the body, too. I wish there's a little bit more mouthfeel.
What is the opposite of dry when it comes to beer? I know, but that's so weird.
Moist.
Yeah, but it's like... it's almost like this like savory like coating. I don't want to say like...
It's like sweet. Almost.
Yeah. Not that like coating of your palate like chocolate will do, but I don't know. It's a little wet for me, if that makes sense.
First time a male has ever said that. No, I maybe not wet. I would say it's like a different kind of sweet, because mm-hmm. there's sweet that comes from artificial sweeteners. There's sweet that comes from, you know, chocolate or other vanilla added to a coffee. And then there's just this, which is, it's just sweet.
Yeah.
Dry or sweet? I feel like that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I got a little more malt body off this.
Excuse me.
You know, I could use a little more breadiness, a little more crackery.
Just something in the middle.
Yeah, just something a little. Yeah, that's where I think I'm missing it, is the middle.
The mouthfeel is a little bit light, is what I said.
Yeah, it could use a little oomph to it.
But it's still a great, refreshing, crushable beer.
And I was just excited to be able to, you know, grab a beer from not the state of Oregon or Washington.
From our mutual friend.
Yes.
I enjoyed their place, too. It's a small little spot. I forget the name of that street where there's a bunch of breweries.
Yeah, but it's kind of right there, like Ratio's right there.
Epic is down the street
Epic
from there.
Epic is down the street. Bierstadt's not too far from there. It's kind of like their own little beer community. It's not far from Coors Field.
No, it's very close
to there.
That's
what I would really die to see if we ever get baseball in this town, is like, give me three breweries that are 10 blocks away from the stadium. And if they put it down there in Terminal 3 or Terminal 2...
Yes.
Sure. I mean,
Terminal.
You've got down there, you've got Sasquatch, Great Notion, Breakside, and Hammer and Stitch just opened up down there as well.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Ben Dobler just opened that spot. He's former Laurelwood and Widmer.
Okay.
And the names of their beers are the Lager and the IPA.
Ooh.
I believe is what I was
reading.
That
makes me happy.
Yeah.
Inside.
Yeah. So... hopefully we can get down there and check that out. But I mean, that's what I mean. It's like, that would be so rad to just have this sort of like culture area, but not right next to the stadium. Otherwise, it's just a madhouse. Like Breckenridge, I think Breckenridge Brewery, which is now purchased, I believe, AB InBev. I could be wrong. If it's not, it's Miller Coors. But they're a big boy now. That is literally catty corner from the stadium.
Yeah.
And that place is probably insane. And then up the street is Great Divide. And yep. I bet before Rockies games... the place is nuts. Although maybe not. Maybe everybody wants that Coors Light.
Oh, I don't know. Denver likes their craft beer, I think.
I mean, they definitely do. But do the baseball fans?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would think so.
You're going to get a cheaper pint at Breckenridge than when you go into the ballpark and have to pay $15 for that same pint.
Yeah, that's true.
So go pregame a little bit and then go walk into the stadium.
Yeah, that's true. And look at, you know, and look at us with the Timbers. And even the, I'm not going to say the Blazers, but with us with the Timbers, I mean, that is craft brew culture.
Yes. They've got like, what, the two different
double
craft
post.
Beer only.
They've got Double Post and the Axe and Rose. And I still think they have, I mean, who knows what it's going to look like when the place opens up again. And I still think they have the Fort George spot where you can get, you know, 16-ounce plastic cups of Vortex at 7.8.
Mm.
That I know
right.
People love to do. Meanwhile,
well, of course, because it's getting you hammered really fast.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'll take that free Pilsner, please.
4.8%.
Yes, I would love that.
I can have more of them.
They're always like, do you want the 16 or the 20 ounce? I'm like, come on. Like, what do they look like?
Give me 8.
Yeah.
I'm a small boy.
Yeah. Sir,
I can't handle my liquor.
Sir, you can only carry 4. I'm like, shows you. Don't tell me how many I can carry.
Have you seen me on a Friday night?
Yeah.
I can carry more than 4.
By the way, Timber's playing well right now.
Yes, they are.
Shout out to those guys.
Another win against the Earthquakes the other day.
I hate those guys so much, too. It's because of Wondolowski. I'll just never forget him.
All right.
I'm just die. Oh, not really, because that's mean, but... Ah.
I wish you discomfort.
Yes.
Mildly.
I wish every time you touch the ball, you get depossessed. Dispossessed.
There you go.
Depossessed.
I want you when you go home to have to run to the bathroom. Discomfort. All right, what's beer number 2 in front of us here in our interactive tasting room? Don't forget, if you did buy these beers and are drinking them along with us, let us know what you think. Instagram.com/beersonus.
Yeah, we've had some cool things. Some of you guys out there have like literally given us, you know, like the RJs of the world. I think Taylor's done it too. I mean, this is Taylor's kind of brainchild for us. Have basically kind of broken down all these beers for us, and that's really fun for us to read because it lets us kind of know where your guys' palates lie
and where we are failing you.
And where we are failing you. So please, by all means. The next beer we've got, I'm really excited for this.
The can art reminds me of the Jersey Shore already.
Okay. I'm really excited for this. I think they had 3 beers from this brewery, which I actually... have got some inside dirt on it a while ago without really knowing. So there is the former Toffee Club on Hawthorne and like 8th, something like that, inner southeast. That was a big English pub that was a diehard Tottenham Hotspur spot.
Okay.
So you could go there and you could order English breakfasts, and they always had English style beers on draft. And then you could watch soccer games. It was exclusively a Tottenham bar, but they would play other games, World Cup, stuff like that. Really fun place to go, get there early. Well, unfortunately, they closed, but it was like a really big spot. Well, I was there one time and I heard these guys talking, and I was kind of eavesdropping, but trying not to. And they were talking about how they were planning on opening a brewery in the backspace that used to be another brewery. Started with an S, but I can't remember what it is. It didn't last long. It was more of a nano brewery. So when Toffee Club closed, they kind of just put all their resources into this, and this brewery is called Away Days.
Away Days. Away Days. I think I have seen some beers on the shelf from them. I had never heard of them, though.
Yep, they are a Portland brewery, and I kind of heard these guys talking about it. I was like, oh, that makes sense. I mean, you guys are English-style fans, so I expect you to make kind of English traditional beers, you know, maybe low-carb, maybe do some cask stuff. Who knows? Definitely things they want to pair with English breakfast, and this is before Toffee closed. Anyway, so in front of us, we have their Bus Stop Bitter from Away Days. So basically,
I'm very excited about this
now.
Yeah,
basically, it's their English-style bitter. I love the style.
We both do.
And I'm really hoping for somebody that is so entranced and fixated on English-style beers. I'm excited to see how this
Well, I'll be curious, out. Because I feel like when I first moved here, I had an idea of what an ESB was, and it was very different from what I had here. I'm curious if this is going to be different than some of the very Americanized ESBs, if they're making it in kind of a more traditional British way. Because I feel like they've been maltier than I would expect. When I hear the word bitter, I don't think of a malt-forward beer. I think of, you know, bitterness, hops,
yeah.
Dry.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of the ESBs we've had, that's not been the case.
Yeah, I would agree a lot with that. Is ESBs, anytime you have the word bitter, it, I think, is an immediate turnoff for people.
It scares people.
It's like, you know, I've seen this work in front of house with beer for years and years. You know, you put like petrol on that. And people were like, I don't want to taste gasoline. You're like, no, it's fine. I promise. Or it's like, I've had alt beers that have been described as kind of like a damp basement. And it's like, oh, that sounds disgusting. It's like, no, we mean that in a good way. And I would hope we're getting to a point where the term bitter can be understood, because this isn't the late 2000s, early 2010s. The hop wars, the bitter race is over. But there is a time and place for bitterness. And as Kevin, we talked with Kevin last week, the term really is more perceived bitterness, because you want that flavor, but you don't want to like wreck your palate sort of thing.
Well, this beer is fascinating to me.
It's a touch of haze to it, which I kind of like.
The star of this beer is the back end of the sip. The lingering taste on your palate, wow. I've never had an ESB that's finished like this. It is delightful. It makes me want to go back for more. The rest of the sip, frankly, pales in comparison to the finish. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I just think the finish is so pronounced that it kind of dominates the flavor. But it's interesting. It's like a very bready, almost like toffee, caramely.
Toffee.
Well, I said that because you called it the Toffee Club, but it kind of put that flavor in my head. It's just lingering, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there is some rye character in this.
Possible.
I think that's what I'm getting.
And the nose is really unique for an ESP, too.
And it's very pronounced, the character at the end, whatever that is. Yeah, that toffee caramel. I think it's rye. That could be me.
You might be right.
I can't say I've had an ESP that tastes like this.
No, me neither.
And I'd be...
It's malty, so it's like some of the ESPs you've had, but...
It's not as bitter
as
you would think. I don't think it finishes as dry as you would normally think.
But it slowly dries.
Yes.
As you keep going.
I can agree with that.
The nose is unique to me, too. And maybe if it's rye, maybe that's it. There's something in the nose that I have not smelled in a beer really before. I don't know what it is. It's just unique. I like this, though, a lot. It's not exactly an ESB that I would expect, but that's fine. Because I was curious to see if they would do it any differently. If they are truly a more traditional English-style brewery slash pub, this is fascinating to me. It's really good. I like it.
Yeah, I'd love to have this with, like, eggs and sausage and beans.
The English breakfast.
Yeah. Some toast.
English breakfasts are weird.
It is weird.
Why do you want beans on toast?
I don't know. I never put them on the toast.
You see like the pictures of it.
Yeah,
like they just pour the beans on
like
the bread.
Pork and beans.
Yeah.
You know?
But on the bread.
Yeah.
What is that?
When I was 11, my parents took me and my sister to England for like 2 weeks around Christmas time. And I became obsessed with English breakfast.
Mm. I went to London.
I don't know what it was, but it was just like, I want to eat this every day.
I went to London as a kid as well with my parents when I was in sixth or seventh grade. And I don't remember being fascinated by the English breakfast. I love the fish and chips, obviously.
Duh.
It was very, very fun.
That's a duh.
And I remember having venison sausage at a place there that was delightful.
Yeah.
I don't remember having a lot of breakfast there, though. We also went to afternoon tea. Mm. And they give you this, like, eight-tiered thing full of little sandwiches and snacks. Mm-hmm. And it's like the fat kid in me, because I was fat. I was like, oh, look at all that. I don't care about the tea. Look at the food.
Yeah, I don't think we ever did tea time. And I think it's because my parents were more coffee drinkers than tea drinkers. So having tea at 4 was kind of to them like, huh? Plus, I'm 11. My sister's 9, turning 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, my sister had a birthday in England.
That's interesting.
It's kind of rad. Her birthday's 2 days before Christmas.
So you get, is that good or bad?
I think it's bad.
Mm.
I think on the surface, it's great.
Because you get a lot of presents?
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, crap.
Wait, so basically you're like, I blew everything in 2 days.
Yeah. Basically.
Now I have to wait 11 months till I can get things again?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn it!
And I'm in June, so I'm like right in that sweet spot, middle life.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to my sister.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll do the other three beers on the other side, and we'll pick our favorite from the five. Again, let us know your tasting notes and thoughts on these beers. Instagram.com/beersonus. You can send us a DM there.
And we're not necessarily drinking all of the beers, so feel free to press pause and hang out. Don't keep up with us.
Yes.
But keep up with us.
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We'll be back. Beers on Us. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. All right, welcome back in. Beers on Us. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. I'm going to throw this here because I know we're just going to do it in the same segment, but beer of the week time. I didn't want to lose it because we're not going to break and then do it.
You just like saying that.
I do.
Okay.
It's become my thing on the podcast.
It's okay.
I enjoy it.
We got things on the radio, you know, little things we like to say.
Yes.
I don't blame you.
I like. For some reason, that just started like really early. I started doing that and it just kind of stuck. I like it. All right. Beer number three is one that I actually have had. And I'm curious to see how it tastes in can form because I had it on draft. The third beer is the Montevilla Brewworks Red Crush with a K. It's a Northwest Red Ale.
Now, I debated on whether or not to do this before the IPA or not, because we do have an IPA coming up next.
That's probably right. It's more mild.
But yeah. I kind of went with this just because I didn't. I mean, I wasn't sure. When you say Northwest Red Ale, I assume there's a decent amount of hop character to it. But knowing the next beer coming up, the Stormbreaker West Coast IPA, I figured that might be a little more hop aggressive. So I thought a malt character might be nice to have first.
I had this.
I'm really big on this impact on palate.
Yes.
Thing.
I think it's important.
I think it's important.
I think, especially
too.
If you're having multiple beers to order them out.
Like the last beer we're going to have, if we did that first, it's like adios to every other beer.
Right. Okay. So full disclosure, I had this beer once before. It was on draft. I went to Dick's Primal Burger over on Woodstock, and they had like four beers there. Mm-hmm. This was one. I was like, oh, cool, Montevilla. I've been liking a lot of their beers for the most part. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, I didn't love it on draft.
Okay.
I did not love it on draft. To me, it's not really a red. There's not enough bitterness to it. It's a very kind of sweet, like desserty kind of beer to me. And I was very curious to see how it tastes in can versus draft. You know, you never know draft if it's a clean line or if it's an older keg or whatever. So I'm curious to see what this tastes like, but I did not love it off the draft.
Can you remember when you had that?
I had that.
Over a month ago?
No. It was two or three weekends ago.
Two or three weekends ago. Because this beer was canned on September 21st.
Okay.
So
which is
less than 30 days.
It's about when I had it, I think. Let's see.
But that's also, where did you have it?
I had it at Dick's Primal Burger.
That's a really quick turnaround for a small brewery that I believe, well, they self-distro. I'm just wondering.
I was on Southeast Woodstock, so it's not too far from where they are.
I just wonder if, like, they had that keg sitting around and it's like a previous batch.
Could be.
Anyway.
But yeah, trying it in can will be interesting. I did not love it because I feel like it's mislabeled as a Northwest Red.
Okay.
I don't know how better to label it other than it's sweeter than that. And maybe it's more in the amber realm. It's kind of got or at least on draft, it's kind of like a sweet, caramely, really malt heavy, a little bready. To it, which does not really scream Northwest Red to me.
Did you not like it because you felt it was mislabeled or because you didn't like the flavor?
A little bit of both.
Okay. Because I've done that before. I've had a beer and been like, I hate this beer. This is not a Helles or whatever it is. But in reality, the beer is fine. It's just mislabeled.
Well, I'll be curious to see. I'll let you go first because I've already tasted it and had it. So I kind of know what I'm getting into here. Or at least I think I do. But I'll see what you say because to me, this is not really a Northwest Red.
Well, it smells like toffee.
Yes.
It is very bitter.
You think so?
I do think so.
I don't get a lot of the bitterness.
It's very bitter, and I get like,
there's a really big sweetness at the end.
I don't care for this beer. I think it tastes kind of like an ashtray.
Oh. I'm not getting that necessarily.
I find it really bitter. I get a touch of smoke to it. And yeah, it does not sit on my palate really well. I think this beer is really bitter.
I'm not getting a lot of the bitterness. I mean, maybe I see a little bit at the back end. There's like a big dryness that kind of rises up. To me, it's just overly sweet. To me, it's too much of that toffee at the back end.
The nose smells like it's going to be sweet. Yeah. But I think the nose and the flavor are kind of different, at least for me.
So and it's not really a Northwest Red Ale then, right? Am I kind of correct in guessing that Northwest Red is kind of mislabeling it? Or did they just try to make it Northwest by adding bitterness, but it's not fitting in the same palette?
I think it's a red. I just think it's a miss on recipe level.
Okay.
unless there's something going on with this beer that we don't know about that they were going for.
Well, like we had that happen once before with right. that sticky hands thing.
The sticky or stiky from Trapdoor.
Yeah, but it was actually a style that we hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, it was like a bigger bodied form of alt beer, like an export alt beer.
So like when we read about that, it was like, oh.
Oh, this makes so much more sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I've liked a lot of what Montevilla's got going on, but this one, not loving it.
Yeah, this Northwest Red Ale is a hop extravaganza. Orange citrus hop flavors intertwined with a malty bittersweet chocolate body. Chocolate body. Balanced by aromas of spice, dank herb, and fresh pine.
I'm getting very little of the descriptive flavors there.
The chocolate one is interesting to me.
That may be the sweetness that's kind of overpowering it.
I think I taste that, but it's coming to me as more smoky.
Yeah, I think that's just overpowering. I'm not getting a lot of orange. I'm not getting a lot of pine.
Yeah.
I'm not getting a lot of citrus. I'm glad they said chocolate on there because that's the flavor that I'm like, this doesn't belong in a red. So when they say that, okay, I see what you're going for at least. I do taste the chocolatey. That's what I was calling the toffee.
Right.
But I taste the chocolate in the middle. But, yeah, don't love it.
All right.
Do not love.
Moving on.
First two beers, quite good.
Moving on. The next beer in our tasting interactive room. Wait, stop.
Interactive.
Reverse that. Shout out to
Missy Elliott.
Gene Wilder. You're like Missy Elliott, and I'm like Gene Wilder, and we both pause and look at each other.
Like, those are very different references.
Those are very different references. I'm talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, and I'm talking about the song.
Yeah. I forgot about
like
that song.
Like, now flipping in reverse.
Yeah. I forgot that. The great Missy Elliott.
Great Missy Elliott.
That's fat Missy Elliott, too, right? Right, isn't it? That's pretty skinny Missy?
I don't think that's fat Missy yet. I think it's like pre-fat, pre-skinny. Like, pre-pre-skinny.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Because she was large and then became small.
But she was small.
And then became large and then became small.
I think.
Okay.
It was from that like Missy Understood album. Shit. Yeah.
All right, cool.
All right, what do we got? There's a waffle on the cover.
There is a waffle on the cover of this. This is Stormbreaker Brewing's Screenbreaker West Coast IPA in collab with Screen Door. The
Ooh.
Breakfast joint.
No, I do love me some Screen Door.
For their chicken and waffles and 2.5 hour wait outside yes. while it's pouring rain.
I have
the
done
most
that.
Classic Portland brunch spot you can find.
I have done that wait a couple of times. The food is worth it. It is
food
delightful.
Is very good.
Their special bacon appetizer. I forget what they call it. It's like candied with like nuts and stuff. Oh my God. And I've never had chicken and waffles there because I don't really like waffles that much. But I get a bunch of other, I've tried a bunch of other things on their menu and they're delightful.
See, and my funny thing is that I love fried chicken and I love waffles, but, I am not into that.
You hate them together.
Yeah. I'm not into the togetherness of it. I don't know what it is. Like, the concept of syrup on fried chicken to me is just not my thing.
Mm.
I've had chicken and waffles before, and every time I'm like, can I have an extra little side plate? And they're like, oh, sure, assuming I want to share. And I'm just like, chicken, here.
It's like, why did you order this then? Chicken, here. This is why.
Yeah, because I want to put peanut butter and syrup on my waffles, and then I want to get down on that fried chicken.
Mm. I just don't like waffles.
You like pancakes?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know they're like the same thing, but different shapes.
I like French toast.
Ooh.
I think pancakes are overrated.
With some challah bread?
Sure.
Yeah.
You speak
That's
to the Jew
good.
In me.
That's
yes.
good. That's the good
I
stuff.
I mean, I just
man.
Like French toast in general, but yeah.
My dad used to make French toast.
French
for us
toast
all the
number
time.
One, pancakes number two, waffles number nine.
Man, I don't know what I am. I'm probably waffles one.
Boo.
Waffles one. French toast two, pancakes three. I don't know. It's tough to say, man. Depends on the mood.
It's not tough. It's easy. I
My
just
girlfriend
said
got me a waffle maker for Christmas last year, and it's like the coolest thing ever. I love it.
That would be the worst waffles. Gift for me. I'd be like, great.
I know. I even think I was like, man, I like waffles. I really wish I had a waffle maker. And she was like writing that down.
Yep. Boop, 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 boop.
All right. And then I opened it, and I was like, how'd you know? This is totally what I want.
What does this can say? Because already the smell is unique.
It says West Coast IPA, dry hopped with Citra, Mosaic, and Simcoe. This collaboration with the world famous Screen Door pairs perfectly with fried chicken and waffles. 6.4%. Ipa Ipa.
Whoa.
Whoa, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
This beer is not at all what I expected it to be.
It says Screenbreaker, canned on 1922020. None of that makes sense.
What?
To me.
1922020.
So there's a 2020 in there.
Yeah.
But before that is 192.
So
January 92nd or
the 19th month
on the 2nd? What is the 19th
Or is it
month?
British and it's 219? And this is 900 years old.
219, 2020. This beer sucks, man. I haven't even tasted it, but I'm going to go out on a limb. Whoa.
This is not giving me anything that I expected. Now, they say it pairs well with chicken and waffles. So, is there a flavor in here that's supposed to pair well with chicken and waffles? Question. Serious question.
Yeah, I think I taste it.
What is it?
Butter. A lot of butter.
Yeah.
I get it on the nose. I get it in the body.
Is that intentionally done for the pairing then?
I highly doubt that. Okay. Knowing these three hops.
I'm getting none of the three hops.
If it was a little, I hate doing this. If it was a little like some New Zealand Southern Hemisphere, I could understand that flavor profile as that can come across as a little falsety. But I think this beer is rough.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
This is, I'm disappointed, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I like the collab idea a lot. But right off the nose, I went, I'm not sure what's going to happen with this beer.
Yeah. The aroma is tough. The flavor's better than the aroma.
That's debatable to me. I feel bad. I don't like doing this. I don't like being bad about beers, but sometimes.
I don't like doing this either. But
sometimes.
Yeah, I think.
And we like the Stormbreaker guys. And yeah. We like the beer that they make usually.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is a miss.
Yeah. I really want to know how old it is for that reason.
Yeah. What is that date on the can, please?
Yeah. But it said new arrival. So I assumed it was fresh.
It's probably fresh.
Yeah, I'm not into this beer. I'm not into this beer in any way, shape, or form.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's 09/2/2020. So it's September 2nd is probably when it was canned.
Which isn't bad. It's 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
Should be well within, but things are definitely going to creep up after 45 days if you have flaws.
Yes. Yeah. Not the best.
Not the best, but I've got enough in my glass that I've got to kill it because I'm really looking forward to the next beer.
I know. What is the term for butter popcorn flavor?
It's diacetyl.
That's diacetyl?
Mm-hmm. Which basically means your yeast, which eats at the VDK, which eats at the proteins that create the diacetyl. And when you don't have healthy yeast and it dies, it stops eating at that. And so then that flavor becomes prominent.
Gotcha. So you're saying it's a yeast problem?
It is a yeast problem.
So it's more...
Because remember, yeast is a living organism.
It has less to do with like the recipe and more just to do with the quality of the product, like the actual like yeast product.
It has everything to do with yeast health in the sense of, yeah. So in all of these other beers we have drank, now I didn't taste any like dead yeast characteristics, which usually comes in the form of VDK, which creates what we know as diacetyl.
Even in the Montevilla, which we didn't love, there were no off flavors in it. It just wasn't...
I didn't like the recipe.
Up our alley.
Yeah, and so what happens is you have an unhealthy yeast regimen, whether it was unhealthy going in or became unstable while fermenting. These are things that a lot of people taste as they go through, and I don't know exactly how you fix it once you realize in the middle of fermentation.
It's probably tough when you're doing collab, too.
But these guys aren't a brewery.
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying if you're doing a collab with someone and maybe you find in the middle that it's not exactly what you wanted to be, but there's expectations, maybe there's a pressure to keep pushing on. I don't know.
Yeah, but you put your name on it.
Yeah. Again, is it meant to be intentional?
Mm-mm.
You don't think so?
I don't think anyone would ever intentionally make a beer taste like this.
Okay.
And if so, it's a bad recipe flaw.
Makes sense. All right, let's get to the final beer. You're very excited.
Yes.
Is it a dark beer?
It is a dark beer.
That's exciting for me.
Yes.
It's a small can.
It is a small can. This is from The Brewing Project.
Which is what?
Crap, I already forgot where they're from.
You want to look it up?
Yeah, you look it up.
Is it not on the can?
It's not on the can.
Like most normal cans?
Yeah, you look it up because I forget. They're not local. They come in from day one, our good friend Robbie, Wisconsin. Yes, they're from Wisconsin.
Okay. Eau Claire.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
You found it before I did.
Yeah, I know. I just actually looked.
Reading the can?
I like looked and was like, no, it's not here, and gave up. The Brewing Project have put a ton of stuff in town, mostly like IPAs and hazy IPAs and stuff like that. But I gravitated towards this because I was looking for new dark beers. And this is PB Attack Imperial Stout. It's a malt beverage with cocoa nibs, chocolate, peanut butter, and my least favorite part about it, and natural peanut flavoring.
Ah, yes.
My least favorite thing. But I thought it would be really fun to taste because it could give us a nice little kind of sweet dessert-y kind of
I do love me some peanut butter Imperial Stouts.
And I love peanut butter.
I was going to say, who doesn't? I know some people are allergic to peanuts. But
yeah, the ones that kills them.
If you're not into peanut butter and you can have peanut butter, what's wrong with you?
Jeez.
Is it dark?
Coming out like mud.
Let's go. I love that color.
Coming out like mud. The fizz.
Oh, my God.
The bubbles fizz like soda.
It's like sticky like mud, too.
Mm-hmm. The bubbles came out like, listen. Can you listen?
I have no idea. If that's
no, for me, it's like fizzing out like soda.
It is. It's very fizzy. You can hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you pour a Pepsi into a glass.
If you're drinking it along with us, listen to it. It's very fizzy. I don't know if my mic picked it up at all.
Hello.
But... all right.
This is a dark beer, Mike.
The can is very cool, too. It's like a little Rick and Morty-esque.
Yeah.
Like kind of just like cartoon characters.
A little Adventure Time.
Yeah. It's like little like peanut butter cupcakes chasing somebody.
Come
oh, it smells good. My stout pants are tight.
I get big chocolate. Big chocolate.
Yas, queen.
The cocoa nibs and the chocolate are coming through. I don't get a lot of peanut butter in the nose.
But you're going to get it in the taste.
Yeah, I figured I'd get it in the taste, but I really...
Wow.
I don't... I'm a little worried about that, like, soda carbonation kind of thing we just saw.
The carbonation dies pretty quick because it's a very thick beer.
Mm-hmm.
I took one sip. You will like everything until the back of the palate.
Okay.
Because that's where some of the artificial flavors kind of come in a little bit.
Okay.
It kind of sticks out.
An interesting thing, when I was opening it, the pressure on it was pretty high. Like, I could feel it, that even though, you know, there's always that little bit of space in a can, I could feel that this was going to, like, sort of thing.
Right.
And I had to kind of, like, dig my finger under the top.
Well... This is a very peanut buttery, chocolatey sip. It is delightful. The back end's a little artificial. I'm not so afraid of that taste because I like just the sweetness and the strength of these beers. So I don't mind it so much, but I know some people who don't like that artificial flavor probably won't love it. But the actual flavor in the beginning, ooh, that is a chocolate peanut butter cupcake to a T.
I think I want a little more peanut butter.
You want more?
I think so.
I think it kind of comes through really quickly right on the front of the sip, though.
Yeah, I think it does, but it kind of dies off. I think this beer is so chocolate cocoa nib dominant, and I would even say more cocoa nibs because I can get that, like, cocoa nibs, kind of like coffee, can give you this, and this is one of those terms that I'm actually going to use it in a positive light, can give you some of that, like, chalky dryness, and I'm getting a lot of that.
I'm not getting that at all.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm getting... I think the peanut butter is enough. I think peanut butter is a very overwhelming flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you put too much in, it muddles everything else.
Kind of like vanilla.
Yes.
Vanilla is the same way.
I feel coffee is kind of similar too in some of these beers. If you put too much coffee, everything else gets blown to smithereens.
Especially because we're not coffee drinkers.
Well, I am.
Oh, you are.
I just don't
You don't like them in...
I don't like coffee in my stouts, no.
Right. Fine with the normal malt characteristic of coffee, but you don't want...
The super strong coffee
flavor. Yeah, you don't want, like, infused coffee.
I think the peanut butter is just enough to balance the chocolates and the cocoa nibs, the chocolate in the cocoa nibs, because it is a very strong flavor. I get maybe a little chalkiness at the end. I kind of see where you're coming from with that, but it's not overpowering me. I think this is really good, and it's kind of warm already. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of naturally unbubbles warm, which is sometimes how you're supposed to drink these beers.
Definitely. I mean, I think the average person would say to drink an Imperial Stout at about, I don't know, 48 to 54 degrees.
The only two negatives... criticisms, a little too syrupy in terms of literal consistency.
It's really thick
and a little too artificial at the end. You don't need the natural peanut flavors. Like, let the actual ingredients speak for themselves. I know sometimes breweries will do this. I've noticed this in some of the Great Notion beers. I've noticed this in some of the brewery with the U.
Yeah,
they do the really strong stouts.
Mm-hmm.
They really want that flavor to be the star, whatever they're going for, mm-hmm. like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, or like they have a, like a theme to the beer,
right?
Where they put the artificial flavor in to make it hit that. It hits it, right? You taste it and you're like, that's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But it's artificial, and you know it's artificial. When you drink most beers, there's almost no artificial flavor. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a trick, like a negative trick, where you're like, ooh, this does taste like that. But you're like, but I know beer doesn't naturally taste like this. You can make a great peanut butter chocolate stout without adding natural flavors.
I see what you're saying.
So
I do defer to you when it comes to these things.
A little too syrupy and a little too artificial at the end. Otherwise, I think it's really good. I enjoy it. I enjoy the flavor profile. Just let the ingredients speak for themselves. And if you're struggling with the formula or the recipe and you need the artificial flavors, then keep tweaking the recipe.
Yeah.
Or just make it less flavorful.
Add more peanut butter to it?
Sure.
Maybe instead of whatever this natural flavor is?
I mean, you don't... A peanut butter chocolate stout doesn't need to be a Reese's cup.
Right.
It's a beer.
Right.
Right?
You still want to taste beer. That's the difference between this and a pastry stout.
Yes.
Or maybe not this. Would you say this is a little more pastry?
It is a little more pastry.
Okay.
Which
might be why I am not like super into it.
The brewery with you.
Yeah.
Is that California?
They're California, yeah.
They do a ton of these types of beers, mm-hmm. and I really enjoy them because they're interesting, but it's too much. Give me a little bit of the malt and barley. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have any of that here. It's just the chocolate and peanut butter flavor.
Gotcha. You still want to know you're drinking beer.
Well, I'm drinking it because I like beer.
Right, right.
This is great for someone who doesn't like beer but likes Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah.
Because it just tastes like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
And it'll get you drunk.
It will.
And it's Imperial. Can you see the ABV on it?
I'll look.
I was glad it was a short can.
Looking.
It has to. It's illegal or not.
I mean, I don't see it, but...
Well, that is against TTB.
It's on there somewhere, maybe. I don't see it, sir.
Is this gone, dude, Captain? I don't have the power.
I don't know.
Let me take a shot.
You turn the can in circles and find nothing.
Not that I don't trust you, Mike, but I feel like it's one of those
things you looked and didn't find Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So
that is true.
So yeah, I would say.
Nope, no ABV.
It's good flavor.
That's illegal.
It's good flavor. But it's a little bit too artificial. That's my hot take.
Okay. So?
What's our beer of the week? I think it's pretty obvious for me. It's the Away Days ESB.
Yeah, Mike, I'm not going to lie. I don't really like any of these beers.
You're not loving any of them?
Mm-mm. I will stick with you and say, the Away Days is my favorite beer of this.
Next time, I'll pick the Interactive Tasting Room.
Okay.
You've done the first two.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go to my marketed choice because it's convenient for me.
Yeah.
And we'll see if I have any more luck.
I had a little bit of struggle with this one. And only because, I will say this, only because it's not that I don't like any of these breweries. You know, I was excited to try Away Days. I was excited to get a Montevilla beer. You know, I've known these Stormbreaker guys for a while, our mutual friend and outside. But I struggled in terms of selection,
mm-hmm.
of like my options. I felt a little cornered in the sense of there wasn't really.
It might have just been the timing of it.
Yeah, I think it's the timing. And honestly, I think this is something going forward post Fresh Hop that is worth keeping an eye on. Is, you know, I was talking with my buddy Todd up at Cerveza, and I said this, and he kind of called me out and asked me, well, what do you mean? What are you looking for? And I didn't have a good answer, so it's not the best thing, but I'll just share it with you guys. I wonder how many new options we're going to see in the short term.
I think everybody kind of was like
fresh hop, fresh hop, and now it's kind of like, ugh, can I just relax for a minute? You know, and so I'm wondering, you know, because, I mean, the same stuff's still out there. I can go grab a Heidrallen Pilsner if I want. I can go get a Freem IPA if I want. But I'm curious what kind of variations we're going to see going forward.
Okay. Well,
in the short term.
Next time we do this, I'll grab the beers.
Cool.
And we'll see if I have any more luck. I kind of see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think in some cases, this is, again, it's something that we've fallen into as a trap before is... You see something you've seen before and you instantly dismiss it.
Right.
Oh, well, that's not new. I'm not going to look at that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not even something you've had before, mm-hmm. but you've seen it. And you're like, Well, I'll skip.
And I worked really hard on this one because I was like, I would not buy any of these beers.
Right.
Normally.
I would buy two or three of these beers,
mm-hmm.
just on like a, let's try this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I would have bought the ESB. I would have bought the stout, obviously. And I probably would have tried the fizz.
You probably would have bought the red had you not had it before.
I don't think I would have.
Really?
Yeah. I think I've kind of, since this podcast has started, my...
You like the malt, but the red style is not as much your thing anymore?
I just don't really go for it.
Okay.
Like, I know if I'm going to get a red, I'm going to get an IRA from Double Mountain.
Holla. You know?
I had that 2 weeks ago.
Shout out.
It was still great.
Yeah.
I went to the one over on Woodstock because I was helping my friends move to their house over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And went over there and got a hop line and I got a IRA. Still great.
Okay.
So I think I just kind of have settled on my like favorite red and I'm just like, that's it.
Fair enough.
Because a lot of the reds I've had recently have been,
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
My palate has changed, my friend.
As of all of ours.
Yes, that is true.
I don't drink Breakside beer all day, any day, every day anymore.
Well, you can't.
Well, I can.
That's true.
I don't have a job. I can do whatever I want.
Right. But you're not just getting the beer now.
This is correct.
Now it's going to start costing you money.
Yes. Although they have a new Helles down at Slavtown that I really want to try. Shocker.
Well, hopefully you guys found a couple of these beers that you did enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a couple of them. Patrick, not so much a fan. Apologies for the two that had some off flavors. If you guys really didn't enjoy them, apologies for the money lost on that. But
hey, this is
it's a risk you take sometimes.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
You never know. Let us know what you think. Instagram.com/beersonus. Personal pages at @MikeLynch27 on Twitter. Patrick's at @PDiddy085 on Instagram. We'll be back next week with a quick hit episode. Patrick's going to be out of town.
Yep.
But I will call him on the cellular phone
that we do possess.
We have technology.
Yep.
And he will be at the tail end of his trip to Glacier National Park in Montana.
Yep.
And Spokane and other places.
I'm going to be, you're going to catch me next week in the middle of my trip because I'm gone for 13 days. But I will have hit Missoula, Glacier, Spokane.
And maybe Leavenworth.
And I plan on doing some beer drinking in Missoula and Spokane, so maybe we can report back on there, and I'll grab some stuff and
I think we'll do
bring them back for you for the
okay
whether for this podcast or for personal.
Okay, so we'll do a quick hit, and then maybe the next week we'll do a Montana Spokane episode. We haven't done an area episode in a while.
Sure, and maybe Spokane might be the best because I'm not sure what I'm getting into in Missoula, but I know what I'm getting into in Spokane.
Okay,
but
whatever works.
Also, GABF results will come out this weekend. You're listening to this on Thursday. Saturday night is GABF results. So maybe we can do a quick run through the state of Oregon and our friends in Washington and see how it's stacked up.
Sounds good. That's next week. Quick hit with Patrick over the phone. And subscribe, rate, review wherever you find us and download. It helps. And we'll see you guys next week.
God Thor says.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.